Well, good morning on this Christmas Day. What a special day it is to gather together to remember the birth of our Savior, Jesus. It was around these times of the season growing up where I remember sharing meals with my family and friends. And inevitably, it would come to a point in the meal where I would ask my dad to do his magic trick. He only had one. And so I'm going to try it today for you guys. So I need a couple of kids to come up if you want. Just two or three. You guys want to come up? Okay, two of you guys. Come on. Tell everyone your name. What's your name?
My name's Olivia.
Olivia and? Okay, you want to come up? All right, come on, come on. Okay, so what he would do, he had an imagine, and this, sorry, your name is?
Aiden.
Hey, Aiden. All right, welcome. Okay, here, sit right here. Stand right here. And so he was able to take a coin and pass it through a table. Can you check the coin? Is that a normal coin? And can you check the table, Aiden? Is this a normal table? Do you see any holes in there? Anything in my sleeves? Can you check my sleeves? All right.
How come this table can push down?
Oh, yeah. This is not a trick table. It's because you can raise and lower it. That's very attentive. Okay. All right. So here's so what's going to happen? I'm going to put it. Okay. I'm going to drop it. Does that sound solid to you? Yeah? Okay. I think I may have forgot something. Still here. Okay, I know what I forgot. All right. I forgot to ask you to say the magic word. Okay? So the magic word is Lunius Transferum. Can you say that? It's like a Harry Potter. Okay, so we're going to try that again, okay? Ready? Coins here. This hand. Okay. Say it.
Lunius Transferens. Ugh!
Where'd it go?
Whoa.
All right, thanks, guys. You might find the secret out later. Well, actually, here, you guys, you know what you get? Here, Aiden. Lunius. Merry Christmas. Here. Aiden. You know what? Every great magic trick depends on the art of misdirection, right? You're invited to pay attention to one area while the real secret's going on somewhere else. I feel like the Christmas season often can be like a great magic trick. There's so much going on that we can easily miss out on what's really happening. We've got our office, Christmas parties with our ugly sweaters and gift exchanges. And then you've got your partner's office party to attend to. Then you've got school recitals, Christmas cards to write, Christmas photos to take, Christmas presents to pick up, more dinner parties. Christmas can be so full. And even our songs that we love that form this Christmas memory can be important as well. We've got Santa Claus is coming to town with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer leading the way. It's Christmas time in the city. We're walking in a wonderful winter wonderland with silver bells ringing. All I want for Christmas is you. Or is it my two front teeth? With all that's going on, it's really easy to miss out on what's really happening at Christmas time. So today we're going to take a look at what the original story says. Often our understanding of the story is informed by pop culture, and we want Christmas to look like this. But often it looks like this. Bunch of selfies, the nativity scene, iPads, next to certified organic beef. But occasionally, our Christmases might feel a little bit like this. I want you to park those images for just a moment and listen to the source material of that first Christmas. I'm going to invite you to listen along from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, verse 7 to 17. Hear these words. And she, that's Mary, gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth. Peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off, found Mary and Joseph and the baby, who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. Please pray with me. God, we thank you for this day, which reminds us of your arrival into our world. And as we celebrated by opening presents and spending time with family over this weekend, we just really want to see what it's all about. Spirit of God, open it. Open these words to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Like an audience unimpressed by a magician's misdirection, people might become unimpressed by all these details surrounding this story. Wise men, angels, star in the sky, the virgin birth. They might become relegated to this folklore and myth status, lumped together with Santa and reindeer. But let's examine how these elements of the Christmas story are signposts pointing out to the real story that's happening in Bethlehem. Luke gives us a hint. He repeats it three times. Hear these words in the text I just read. Verse 7, Mary wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger. Verse 12, the angel says to the shepherds, "This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger." And verse 16, so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Luke repeats this word manger, baby in a manger, three times. Perhaps this is where the real magic is happening. But first, notice what's not included in the story. There's no innkeeper managing a Holiday Inn, as many of the nativity stories include. There's no mention of an ox, an ass in the stable that we sing about, or animals. One of my favorite carols that we sang, if you were here last week, is "In a Bleak Midwinter," where half of the words in that entire song is snow. Snow, 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 snow upon snow in a bleak midwinter long ago. Most scholars don't actually date Jesus' birth to have taken place in the middle of winter because that's a bad time to get everyone to travel home for a census. And it's also not likely that you would find shepherds watching their sheep out in the middle of the night, staying overnight with them in the middle of winter. Jesus was likely born at springtime, but because of the festivals that were happening at that culture and at that time, the celebration of Christmas began in winter. In Silent Night, we sing, "The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, no crying he makes." Every time I sing that, I'm like, really? A baby that doesn't cry? That's almost as scandalous as the virgin birth. Now, you might be thinking, you're making me worry about everything I've been singing about. Please don't fret about it. Do enjoy them. Do sing them. But don't miss the point and the direction they're orienting you towards. So what is mentioned in this story? There's an angel that shows up telling the shepherds about the birth of a baby in a manger. What's a manger? We have one here right now. Covered up. A manger is a feeding trough for animals. And typically you would find that on the first floor of a home. At that time when Jesus was born, most people lived on the second floor of the home. And on the main floor, you would have the entrance, and you'd keep animals there, and that's where you'd find a manger. If that were to happen today in Vancouver, maybe it would be at your aunt and uncle's house who have a Vancouver special with an attached garage. And you'd find Jesus on a workbench in the garage. We're not told that he shows up at a Holiday Inn or a travel lodge or even an Airbnb host. It's probably his relative welcoming him to stay with him because that's his hometown, and they just didn't have room for him. So, Luke is telling us all these events surrounding the Christmas story, as spectacular as they are, what we're supposed to pay attention to is actually pretty ordinary and mundane. But in that ho-hum setting of a baby in a manger in a relative's home, there is something incredibly special happening. What's happening? What's so special about this baby? In verse 11, Luke says, "Today in the town of David is a Savior that has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." If you were here with us last night at Christmas Eve service, Pastor Ken shared an insightful message on how Jesus is the true leader that we can trust and offers security. He is the real one who saves. He's the one who delivers. In this one baby, in this small package, yet it has three huge implications. The Savior is one who rescues, one who heals. In this baby is the Messiah, the one who is long anticipated, meets all the long anticipated expectations of a nation. In this baby is Lord, the one who holds control over all things, the one leader that is truly worth following. That's who arrives on Christmas Day. And some of you might remember the days when Vancouver was actually in the NBA, the days of the Vancouver Grizzlies. How many of you remember that? I remember when we first were announced that we would be getting in the NBA, I was like, we have arrived on the sports scene in North America. Yes, we love the Canucks, but the NHL has never compared to the NBA, the NFL, or Major League Baseball. But it was a really rough few years when the Grizzlies were here because we never would get good draft picks and we were poorly managed. And so we were always in the bottom feeders. And so we were waiting for that right player to come. So year five comes, we get a high draft pick, and eventually we get this young and up-and-coming point guard named Steve Francis. I remember him arriving and playing his first game here in Vancouver. He played a decent game. They won. He went on to become Rookie of the Year, only not with the Vancouver Grizzlies. When he heard that he was going to be drafted to the Vancouver Grizzlies, what we expected, the person we expected to rescue us from the bottom feeders of the NBA, the one who would lead us towards at least some level of respect, he rejected us. He said, "I don't want to play for them. I'm too embarrassed to play for them." So he chose to play for another team. So when I was there for that very first game, people were cheering, "Francis, Francis," every time he touched the ball. But they weren't cheering him out of admiration. They were cheering him out of spite because he thought he was too good for us. Well, when God shows up in our world as a baby, he doesn't think he's too good for us. He doesn't think that our lives are too messy to get involved with. He identifies fully with us. He comes as a baby to live and experience life as we experience and even more. He comes to show us what life looks like when it's fully connected with God, the Heavenly Father. He shows us this relationship that he has shared with God the Father since the beginning of time, and he offers it to anyone who is willing to look to him and to trust him. Jesus shows up to show us what God looks like. God arrives on the scene not as a leader to rescue and lead us with a resume of accomplishments, at least measurable by our standards, but he comes to show us what life looks like when God is in our midst. We don't see a resume, but we see his love and his character lived out in his life here on earth. And we find out the depths of his love at the other end of his life when he gives up his life for us and for the world. All of God's love, all of his character packed into this small package of a baby in a manger in Bethlehem. It's easy to miss. Easy to overlook amidst all the misdirections that Christmas offers, but also kind of intimidating, because if this is truly God, if this is the creator of the universe, the one who holds all things in his hands, when he shows up on your doorstep, how can we respond? It's actually kind of intimidating. Makes me think of this story that popped up on my newsfeed this past week about a man in China who had for 25 years, taking this mysterious tool he had, and he would use this tool to crack open walnuts that he loved to eat. But it turned out, as he found out this past week, that this tool was an undetonated hand grenade. So for the past 25 years, he had this small, unassuming package that he was using, but it was incredibly dangerous. There was something that he had to do once he realized what it was. When Jesus shows up on the scene, there is great comfort and wonder because the Messiah has arrived, but there's also a sense of reverence and fear. If this is truly God, how are we to respond? Well, the angel reminds the shepherds. The moment he shows up in that field, what does he say to them? He says, "Don't be afraid, for behold." Don't be afraid. I'm going to tell you where to look to. Look to this baby in a manger that has just shown up. When something new shows up in your life that shakes your paradigm, it's easy to be uncomfortable. And when God shows up, for all that he is, it's very natural to be somewhat afraid. You're afraid of what might change. You're afraid of what is the unknown ahead of you. You're afraid of what those voices might uncover that you've been hearing in your life and in the world around you. But this living God shows up as a baby, and if you look toward him, if you behold him for who he is, those fears can be alleviated. And if you're still experiencing those fears, then behold him just a little bit longer. Beholding. This is what the angel invites the shepherds to do, and they go off to look and see Jesus in a manger. And you're saying, well, Andrew, what does this beholding look like? Beholding is kind of a weird word. Well, when you see a good magic trick, not like one of mine, you may or may not walk away telling others about it. But when you actually see past all the misdirections and you see the secret behind the magic trick, that's when you start talking about it. That's when you say, hey, I'm going to share that with someone else. That's when you spread the word, just as the shepherds did when they went to see Jesus, a baby in a manger. What we read says, they were amazed and they went away and spread the word. On a podcast this week, I heard a story of two sisters, 12-year-old Susan and a 7-year-old Harriet. And they had opened their presents on Christmas Day, much like many of us have done this morning. Only when they opened their presents, they found that they had received from their parents two gaudily painted metal tissue boxes. A far cry from the bike that Harriet, the younger one, had wanted. So she burst into tears. And Susan saw that because that was not the set of encyclopedias she wanted. And so she was just about to burst into tears when she looked across the room and saw her mother, who too was about to cry. And in a moment, Susan, the older sister, beheld in the eyes of her mom a story of a year that was incredibly difficult, where they couldn't make ends meet and they couldn't afford to buy the presents that their children wanted. Confronted with this new reality, Susan made a choice to change. At that moment, she realized the depth of her parents' love for her and for her sister. Even though they didn't receive what they had expected, she forced herself to smile and soothed her little sister by making up a story about where these presents came from that carried her little sister through her entire childhood. Susan beheld, she saw the truth. She changed, and through her actions, she told a story of her parents' love for them. In Jesus, we hear the story of another parent's love. In Jesus, we see a gift that does not disappoint in the long run. In Jesus, when we behold the eyes of God in his eyes, we see a gift of magnanimous proportions, though small and humble in its packaging. We realize that we're loved. We may experience some fear, but behold him. Behold him now. Beholding isn't something natural to the rhythm of our culture in our ADD world of misdirections, but it's so worth it. That's what it means to behold God. You know you've beheld Christ when telling others is the only natural response that comes from it, just as it was for the shepherds that first Christmas. So this Christmas, I invite you to see him,
See past all the misdirections. Behold him for who he really is, because once you have, you can't help but tell others about him. Tell others about our Father's love for you and for those around us. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for coming to show us what God looks like. Amidst all the possible misdirections that this season and even our lives offer, help us not to miss the point of Christmas. We want to behold you more clearly, not just this Christmas day, but every day of the year, every day of our lives. Let's behold him now.